If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello, Braden Harrington here for Post Wrestling to talk all about some NXT on a new episode of Up Next. And I'm not alone. My normal British tag team partner is in New York, but somehow didn't go to NXT tonight. More on that in a sec. But I made the hot tag to a friend of the show from A+. You may know his work from also Slam Wrestling, but I'm with my man, Boris Aguilar. How's it going, my brother? Oops, I had you muted. That is on me. This is usually Davey's part where he does the tech. Hello. Let's try that again. How's it going, Boris?
It's going really well, really well. Great being here. Great being here. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. We took a little, like, we're taking a little vacation. Vacation meaning this is a lot of work for us too, but we're going to New York for full gear this weekend. And then they added the whole NXT stuff. So we were kind of like deciding on where we should, what we're doing and everything with this weekend and everything. But we were deciding on, you know, should we change our itinerary to basically go in and try to see this show? And more importantly, the Monday Night Raw with John Cena. So I'm kind of like, oh, I should have planned my trip, but then that's just a lot of extra days being away. So Davey's out there somewhere. I know he lost his luggage. The airport lost his luggage somehow. So to hear more on that update, you'll follow along on the Snapper on us on the Patreon this week. But, more on that later. But I'm excited. I got an early flight tomorrow, so then I'm going to go. So any New Yorkers, send me your food recommendations. DMs are always open. And catch us this weekend at Full Gear and GCW doing the mall show. Catch us there. If you're going to Full Gear, why aren't you going to GCW Dream On at American? I know, Boris, you're actually American.
Yes.
And have you ever been to American Dream Mall?
I have not yet. I've been to the Great Mall of America.
Okay, that's a big
any
one.
True patriot would.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. But no, I haven't been there yet.
Like, this mall is the size of like a city, a country maybe, yeah. Even. Like, they had indoor theme parks. I'm going to the indoor water park. I'm going to meet Shrek again. But then the GCW does this like running a show. And if you just go to the mall, you get to watch it for free. So like all these, all the different GCW people, legends and stuff. But it's just amazing. Just a bunch of people. It was packed last year and it was quite a show. But I'm definitely looking forward to that. So I'm making it a fun day where it's like, go to GCW, go to the mall, hopefully find the Rizzler Arizona iced tea, and then jump on over to Full Gear at the Prudential Center to see some more wrestling. So definitely making use of my week, a full day on Saturday full of wrestling, hopefully ends at a bar with Davey. We'll be recording and stuff, but I know you've been recording and stuff too. Please let the people know this is a bit of a forbidden door for some of you, for our listeners, right?
I think so. And I think it's always a good time. You can catch all of my work over at A+ Productions. I talk sports, entertainment, and I bring it all together. Chat some sports entertainment, or as we like to call it, buddy, wrestling.
Now, are you watching everything right now? What's kind of catching your attention lately? Are you someone who watches everything, or what's,
yeah, what do you, I like, try to watch as much as humanly possible. Honestly, wrestling is something I watch. You know, I work from home, been working from home for 10 years. So I always have something on the TV, and wrestling sometimes is just something that I listen to. If something catches my attention, I'll watch it. So I watch a little too much, right? Like, been watching a lot of Noah lately. Like this year, I've been watching a lot of Noah. Gotta say,
interesting. Okay, well, it's
NXT Japan's kid.
Like, it's got a bunch of the NXT people in there now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, you know, no one's been very chummy with WWE, to say the least, right? So it's been a lot of fun. But New Japan, you know, New Japan breaking records. They sold out the current allotment for Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wrestle Kingdom. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good there.
Oh, I'm so jelly. Yeah, like. Like, that's going to be the biggest crowd they've had for, like, a Wrestle Kingdom ever. I mean, like, they've had sold-out shows in the way in the past, but this is pretty crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure as many seats as they can, they're gonna fill for sure. That should be the...
Yeah.
What do you think should main event? Now, I booked this trip to Full Gear hoping I was getting Takeshita Okada. I don't think that's the case. I think it's Okada, Mascara, Dorada now. But what's the main event at the Tokyo Dome, January 4th? Takeshita and Tsuji, or Okada and Tanahashi?
The wrestling purist in me says should be Tsuji and Takeshita, right? You want the wrestling. It's a unification match. But at the end of the day, you got to respect the ace. It's ace v. ace, Okada and Tanahashi. I think that should main event. I think that will main event. Let's be honest, they're breaking records because of Tanahashi, because Okada's back. You know, Okada hasn't been in New Japan in quite a little while. So I think it calls for a change of tradition, a change of the norm, should we say.
I like heel Okada being like, put it to a vote, where it's like, shit. Yeah. I love it. People are going to vote for that. I do see that being the main event. Like, I know they've in the past been like, no, the belt has to be the title, but the main event. But yeah, I don't know. I could see it totally being that one. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. What they do after New Japan, hopefully they can use this in some way. Like, hopefully this could be a start, because they're not doing too hot. Like, you would think they weren't doing too hot, and then they sell out. But yeah, like the Hardys and the Dudleys at that one Lowell show with TNA, it's the same. This is, the two guys are really selling this stadium at the Big Egg there. So, I mean, what do they do after? Like WWE, thing, right? like with John New Cena, Japan when he leaves, what's going to happen after?
Right, exactly. Like, you know, WWE's had this issue, but New Japan, I've been saying this for 10 years at least, that New Japan has not been following up and actually creating new stars. And we're seeing that issue now. The biggest issue, though, is that anytime they're on the verge of creating a star, Will Ospreay, for example, you know, they just up and leave. So it's been really hard for New Japan, but hopefully they can take this momentum. Hopefully they can learn over the past few years and just, you know, just build for the future, or else we're going to get New Japan of like early 2000s, right? Where it's just like hurting, struggling. And that's what created Noah.
Early 2000s New Japan?
Yeah.
Right, of course. Well, you love Noah now, so now I know you're the biggest Noah fan. I Noah. I say, hey, who do you know that watch Noah? I say, I Noah guy. His name is Boris. Well, I am looking forward to that. I know that's a ways away, but seeing them sell so many tickets is kind of cool for wrestling. So pretty cool. When I went, it was the Kenny Jericho, and like there was a lot of people, but it was not sold out. Like, they've already sold more tickets than it's looking cool. It's pretty awesome. So I will be watching. I don't know if I'm gonna stay up or wake up. I'm not sure, but that's so ways away. But definitely looking forward to that. Did you watch any of Monday Night Raw? John Cena's last Raw in Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I caught it live, which is very rare. It's very rare that I watch wrestling live. I'm a huge fan of fast forwarding, obviously, right? But I was able to catch it live. I just so happened to be around, and it was a pretty damn good episode of Raw, I got to say, overall. It was a fun episode for all things considered for Raw. And I'm liking how they're doing this John Cena stuff. I know there's a lot of people saying, why waste two matches with Dom? But it makes sense. Got the home and home. people were complaining that he's not putting over anyone. You know, now you have Dominic, who's in a position of a lifetime. So I'm liking the whole scene of stuff.
What about the hat? The Yankees, you can't see me hat. Oh man. Like I definitely think that would become I know, isn't it like not you shouldn't I mean New York Yankees is definitely the most popular like logo. Obviously you see people everywhere in the world wearing it, but I thought that was a cool variation. And the colors and the shirt like for that last Raw in MSG. I think that one will be worth something down the line. So if you're someone who maybe bought one, put it away. And in about 10 years, eBay. And I don't know, make some money. Because I guarantee, like, that's already happening with some of these shirts and some of these one-time only kind of things. But knowing WWE, they'll just sell them again. But I loved John Cena, his promo. MSG was really hot for him. Dare I say, maybe one of the best Raws that I've watched in quite a long time. And the most of a Raw I've watched in a very long time. So I really loved the Cena, the stuff with Dom, the six-man tag, whatever. It's a way to protect him and hype up the bigger match for the pay-per-view. But still got to see him wrestle with Rey Mysterio, Sheamus, the 15-knuckle shuffle.
Yeah.
Was pretty funny. Thought that was great. And, you know, Cena having a match in Survivor Series, not in the War Games. I know Davey was saying, like, oh, he's got to be in the War Games, which just wouldn't make sense. Also, like, I don't know if he wants to get hurt right before his retirement match. So
that's exactly not only that, but like insurance, like you always have to think of those weird external stuff. And it doesn't make sense. He hasn't interacted with any of those guys outside of Lesnar, right?
Exactly. If it wouldn't make sense.
If they were continuing the Lesnar thing, I could see it, but it seems like they're going a whole different direction. And this just makes the most sense. Give him a one-on-one, you know, kind of reminds, you know what this reminds me of? Back in 2006, August, September of 2006, when Cena faced Edge, and Edge beat Cena in Boston, and then vice versa. This, for some reason, really reminds me of that.
Well, you were probably there, as was I, Unforgiven, 2006. TLC.
Yep.
Good times. But yeah, I like Cena versus Dom one more time. I think that makes sense. I loved NXT's Javon Evans, if you've been listening. Javon is the heart and soul of NXT, at least for me, the past times. Ever since he's debuted on TV, he's been my favorite to watch on NXT. And he gets the biggest highlight, the biggest match of his career, dare I say, in Madison Square Garden against Gunther. Or should I call him Walter, coming out to that old music? I already messed up that enough, and now he's got the old music back, which is great. But love this match. I definitely thought this was one of the best Raw matches I've watched, at least this year, when it comes to think of it. But great stuff in there with Gunther just killing Javon. That sleeper suplex had me losing it, and some great hope spots. But yeah, I think Javon, if everything goes smoothly, he should be a big deal with WWE. I think he got a lot of people's attention with this match at MSG on Raw. Gunther goes over. Does Gunther go over on John Cena at Saturday night's main event? Is that what happens? Is that the guy?
I think so. I've been calling it for months, before it was whole speculation and stuff. I think it makes the most sense. Why not, right? Gunther can put all these old guys away. You know, he put out Goldberg. He can put out Cena. He can put out Lesnar at WrestleMania or whatever the plan is.
Put out Goldberg. That's so funny. I actually forgot that Goldberg retired. I guess it's because it got cut off.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally forgot that happened. What a year Gunther had. That's it. Triple H was like, look, I know you had to lose to the Yeet Man. I know we made you fight Pat McAfee, that Goldberg thing. Just you get Cena's last match. All right. That's what we give you. So I do think that would be an awesome match. I mean, Cena's wrestling hasn't been something that people have critiqued this year. It's been pretty good. Maybe some matches, not so much. But I think that would be an interesting one to see, especially if that's the case in a few weeks. Almost, less than a month, I guess, at this. December in a few weeks. That's coming up soon. John Cena will soon be not wrestling on your TVs. We're all getting old.
You won't see him. I think.
Yeah. And then also the War Games. Punk no selling Cody's fist bump was pretty funny. That was inadvertently, but I caught that, thought that was great. Punk's hair is wild. I shouldn't talk. I don't have hair on my head, but that hair is getting crazy. And then what got even crazier was his eyes when Brock Lesnar's music hits, like he's seen a ghost. I'm not the biggest Brock guy aside from all the aside stuff. put it aside. I was already like, we've been sick of him, the return to do this and then come back. But him throwing around the big, you know, Punk and Cody is a big deal. And then the Roman face to face. So, I mean, the star power for this War Games is pretty big now, adding all these people involved. So I thought this Raw was pretty good, even with this big segment to end. Cody, am I wrong? Was Cody Rhodes beating up police officers in New York City?
Yeah, seemed like it. If it was me doing that, I wouldn't be here right now.
He's beating those cops up. Cody Rhodes hates cops in New York. Wow, New York's finest getting beat up there. I thought that was
my favorite. My favorite is that meme of with the NYPD's back turn and Punk just choking out Logan Paul.
Logan Paul or Jack Perry?
Logan Paul.
I've seen a few. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
You gonna go out and get the Logan Paul LGN figure?
I think I'm good.
Yeah. I want the Dusty one though. That one looks pretty good.
I want more of the
current wrestlers. Yeah, out of all of them, the Dusty one makes the most sense. Yeah, so I actually thought Raw was pretty good. Like the last time is down thing, of course, Cena's last Raw. You got to see what they do, and then I stuck around for the rest. And I thought even the Maxine Dupree stuff, AJ Lee and Becky, that was pretty fun. Good for her. Yeah, the whole show was pretty like, oh, this was pretty good. And then John Cena's being promoted for this NXT. I don't know if he's going to be on this show next week with Gold Rush quite yet, but yeah, all over the place in this retirement run. Take it in now. Soak it in while you can, because soon you won't see him unless you watch movies on, like, I don't know, Netflix. I haven't watched any of his recent movies, but once he's done wrestling, oh boy, he's going to be in way more commercials than you could even imagine. He's already been in so many, but yeah, very excited. A very exciting times. Great Raw from Monday night in MSG. I know that we got a Dynamite tomorrow that I know they're going to add some more matches to Full Gear this weekend. So we won't be doing a show on Sunday. Like I said, Davey and I are going to be down there. So we won't be live Sunday, but we will be at Full Gear Saturday. And at some point when leaving the venue, whether it's after the show or after the press or whatever, we will be doing a show in a cab, in an Uber, and the audio will go up on the Poison Rana free feed. So search Poison Rana or go to poisonrana.ca in your podcast app or Insta, whatever you use, give us a follow and check out that show. And if you want to hear more, patreon.com/poisonrana. We've just uploaded a bunch of shows. The Champ is Here, episode 13, our 30th anniversary special review of GoldenEye dropped today, and so much more. Check out bunch of the shows that we got going on there. We were cooking up plus a bunch of Snap Ranas and some karaoke adventures from New York this week. So very excited.
It's November, which means holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high quality finds that you won't see anywhere else. Their thoughtful curation makes shopping simple. But heads up, popular gifts sell fast. So now's a great time to start crossing those names off of your list. Uncommon Goods offers high-quality, unique items, like the New York Times custom baseball book, a made-to-order collection of historic newspaper pages featuring your favorite team's biggest games, star players, and memorable moments straight from the Times archives. You can even personalize it with a name for that extra special touch, perfect for that baseball fan who might still need a bit of cheering up from their team's heartbreaking World Series Game 7 loss. Uncommon Goods has something for every kind of person. Book lovers, history buffs, foodies, gardeners. Shopping there supports small makers crafting limited-run handcrafted products. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. For 15% off your next gift, head to uncommongoods.com/postwrestling. That's uncommongoods.com/postwrestling for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, You can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Very excited. But I'm also very excited to talk about a gold rush here tonight in MSG. You know, every time they promote this, it's MSG, but it's the MSG Theater. It's not like MSG, right?
Exactly. It's not.
Because it's a lot smaller than it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't count, but like, does it count?
Well,
playing in the theater.
It does for some people.
Still played at MSG. Okay. I mean, it's still part of Madison Square Garden. So you still played at Madison Square Garden, but like in the side room, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly. The green room. The green room, right? You played where Ken Shamrock and was it Dan Severn? Didn't they have a match there once?
In MSG or the theater?
The theater.
Like, wow. That sounds iconic. Sounds great.
I mean, I feel like maybe I'm making stuff up in my brain at this point. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I'm getting old.
I'll just believe you. It's fun.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to talk about NXT Gold Rush from Tuesday, November 18th, 2025, from the theater at Madison Square Garden in New York City. And we're kicking things off with a great video package. Of course, well, first you see it, wrestling in 2025, at least WWE. It's always the wrestlers walking into the arena while the theme music plays. I like that. It's like when the athletes shows up in real sports. I like the little touch to it. Like I was out somewhere. Where was I? Was I at a bar and the Travis Scott Raw theme hit? And for some reason, I just felt like people everywhere in the bar were just making their way to the arena tonight for Monday Night Raw. I like that beat. So you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you mean. I hate any time I'm in a bar and I hear some random wrestling theme, or whether one of these like Raw intros or something, my brain is just
wrestling
wired theme in such a weird way. Like you, like it's just like what's going on now?
Yeah, you just hear it and you're like, oh wait. So we're going to Full Gear. No, sorry, that's not correct. We're going to Gold Rush in NXT Gold Rush, and we are starting things off with a video package showing all things New York, including the stocks going up, including the gold. Put your money into gold is basically what NXT was telling me here at the stock market. But we kick things off with some wrestling, lots of wrestling on the show, wrestling heavy here, as we start with I Believe in Thea Hale. We see the crowd have been given golden towels for the gold rush. Everyone's doing the towelie, just throwing it all around in the air. Looking good. I like this. It looks good. It's like a rally towel here. But Thea Hale and Joe Hendry are teaming up to take on Chelsea Green and Ethan Page for the Triple A Mixed Tag Team Championships. That's right. Here in New York City, we have Joe Hendry and Thea Hale. And now Thea has matching gear, like the color. Like, not quite the shirt, but the color of the shirt, and like they both do the pose. She's basically just adopted his gimmick.
Yep.
is what she's done here. But they start things off. Oh, I loved Chelsea Green's. Don't take this the wrong way. I love Chelsea Green's Maple Leafs on her gear. Canada's finest exports. Ethan Page and Chelsea Green. Ethan and Joe start the match here, and they continue to go at it with side chain wrestling when Thea breaks it up and puts a Kimura on Ethan before that is broken up here, and the crowd are hot for Thea Hale. There's a DDT combo onto Ethan from both of them, and then We Believe chants as they do their pose as they go to picture in picture. During that, Ethan gains control and starts beating down, and when we come back, there's a very nice Ethan Page, dare I say, karate man kick from him to Joe, like a roundhouse. And then the confidence breaker, which is like the single knee code breaker, like Gregory Helms kind of used to do. Finally, Joe and Thea, though, start to come back. And then Thea hits her like coffin drop type move. There's a huge super kick and breaks up a few pins and then locks in the Kimura onto Chelsea, but eventually is broken up as Joe gets shoved. Joe almost like lands upside down here, but I think he was okay. And then it allows Chelsea to hit the unpretty her on Thea Hale for the 1-2-3, and Chelsea and Ethan Page retain the mixed tag championships here. But what did you think?
This match is fine, right? Like, I liked it. You know, Page and Green, we praise them every time that we've done a show together, and I'm going to keep praising them here. They're awesome. You know, this is their perfect mix for these mixed titles. And Hale and Hendry were fun, right? Like, you know, I thought I was going to get bored of this by now, of those two, but I'll probably get bored in a month. But let's keep it going. But this match is fine. I really did like this match a lot in the grand scheme of stuff. And like I say, Paige and Green just continue to be highlights for all of WWE TV.
Yeah, no, it's like I'm sick of, I guess I'm over the Joe Hendry like joke, but they're trying to find so many different ways to keep making it work. And Thea had the Chase U rub before, and now it's like latching onto another character, I guess could help, but like the crowd are in. She's a likable character, so is he, and the wrestling was fine. I do agree. Ethan Page and Chelsea are one of the best acts going. I think this needs to be something on the main roster. I really feel like Chelsea could be, like, I know she's U.S. champ. She could be easily women's champ. Ethan Page could be doing this. They could be doing this exact same thing on the main roster and having way more eyes and attention, because I think it's really working. And like, not even the fact that it's just the Canada stuff, all the other stuff they do together just works so well. They're so funny, but then they can also be serious, and it's a good combo. And I swear it's not just because they're Canadian. I swear they're just,
they're really fun. Good. They're Chelsea, just great characters.
Yeah. Like, they both really, their stock has risen, I'd say. And it's crazy considering how long it took for Ethan Page to get to WWE, and just the ups and downs of Chelsea as well, being released and coming back and everything. But like, they're the most entertaining. And it's still weird saying the unpretty her. It's the unpretty. Yeah. That's what she calls it, right?
Yep, my unpretty her. No. Now,
we go backstage with Lola Vice. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lola Vice is watching the show with. Sorry? Lola Vice is with Jordan Grace backstage, and they're upset that Chelsea and Ethan won. They're like, and Lola says, I should have been mixed tag champs with Mr. Iguana. That title should have been mine. And Jordan says, well, I should have been TNA champion, knockout champion, but, you know, Kalani cheated to beat me. When Kalani comes in and calls them cute, says, jealousy doesn't look good on you two, and says, Jordan, I'll see you next week. So Jordan Grace, Kalani Jordan, one more time next week on NXT in the triple threat with Lei Ying Li for the knockouts title. But that could be pretty fun, like the three of them bouncing off each other. I think the turn needed to happen with Kalani, and she's still finding her edge. But I liked here she said, Lola, don't you make yourself the victim. You were one of the ones to kick me out of the locker room, which is following that story. Like, that is true, right? So,
yep,
I didn't mind that.
I like it.
We see, where do we go after this? Sorry?
I said I like it. Like, overall, it was smart, well done. And
Sorry.
Yeah, probably. There's something weird with the connection. I do apologize for that. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It seems fine. But there's something going on here with the software.
I feel like something's happening with my stream. Of course, it's when I run the stream because Davey's not here. So that's probably why. And this whole show is going to fall off the rails, and I'm sorry, everyone, but I'm here. In the comments, let us know. If someone's here, let us know what the hell, if we sound okay, at least, because we're going to continue on. So, if we can. So, we get a John Cena commercial promoting everything and what some of the NXT wrestlers are also going to be wrestling at the Saturday night's main event show. So, looking forward to that as well. But we see Ava is backstage since playing that John Cena commercial. They cuts to Ava and says, 3 weeks away from the deadline, PLE, and we will be bringing back the Iron Survivor Challenge matches. And next week, we're going to do things differently. We're not going to have people winning matches and tournaments. We're going to have someone pick the people, and that someone will be John Cena. So John Cena will pick the wrestlers in the Iron Survivor match. So will he be there in person, though? because the crowd lost it when they played, when they showed his face. And if you were there for a second, you'd be like, oh shit, is he coming out? And later, and I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, they probably been good
if you
something.
Got to see Cena.
Yeah.
I feel like at Raw, something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bax, hey, yeah. Can we take 30 seconds for you to record and say these names here, please?
Yeah. John Cena loves NXT. Come on, man. What are you talking about? I feel like he watches every week. He probably won't after he leaves WWE. He just won't watch it.
Exactly.
Ever again. We cut to Lil Yachty in the crowd here, and he's a big WWE fan. He's here for NXT. He's a real one, though. I mean, this guy is at NXT. He's not like when they put Post Malone front row or like these celebrities that they don't know ball. Like Lil Yachty does. He's at NXT. And if that's not enough, on Raw, when it cut to him at MSG, this dude, Lil Yachty, pulls out a PSP with SmackDown versus Raw 2006. What? Yeah, Lil Yachty knows ball, apparently. So, love to see the true wrestling fan celebrities, because that's, you mean to tell me this guy, I mean, great game, great soundtrack, but he walks around with a PSP
and playing it. Notice how fast.
If you go walk around with a PSP, they cut away from him?
Yeah, like, so they showed show it, but as soon as he started showing the screen, they're like, get it off real quick, right? Like, yeah, that's the first thing I noticed.
But it was their game from, like, years ago. He's just basically, you know, like,
you know how rights work.
Sucks, I guess.
It's all weird.
Right, I guess. But I'd be, I have a PSP somewhere. I think I still have that game, but I mainly played it on, what, PS2 or anything.
Yeah.
Lil Yachty here at NXT. We see Tavion Heights in the crowd being interviewed here. He's not wearing his backpack or his front pack. He says that he's hyped to be a member of NXT. He mentions No Quarter Catch Crew. He says they did a lot for me in the past. More than I learned. I learned more in No Quarter Catch Crew than I did in the Olympics. I find that a bold thing to say. He then says, but one thing is for sure. And then the crowd are getting behind him. He's like, Sting, one thing is for sure about Tavion Heights. Nothing's for sure. He says, I don't know if John Cena is going to pick me to be in the Iron Survivor, but John, please pick me and I'll win the Iron Survivor. And as he's saying this, Tavion Heights is booted in the face by Josh Briggs, really connecting there. And they start to fight all through the crowd and start to fight through the theater here at Madison Square Garden, all through the merch and the vendors and everything as they kind of cut away from this. But yeah, so the Josh Briggs and Tavion Heights, who I would say both should be in the Iron Survivor, I guess, at this point. But yeah, that boot really, really connected, I think. Maybe I saw it wrong, but that looked like it left a mark on his face.
Yeah. It was a nice close-up, too, so it was like you could really see it hit. I like that. I'm really liking this heel Briggs. I know a lot of people haven't had time for Josh Briggs, but I've been a fan of Briggs since day one, since his Evolve days, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, like now he's getting some shine, and I think the crowd booing him and stuff, like he's powered through it and he's definitely connecting. They had him lose just recently on TV, and it's like I feel like we're building up Ricky as his babyface champion. Like, why not build up someone like a Josh Briggs and kind of see what we can do? Because when he does wrestle, like, he's good. And I don't know. I think he is finally finding himself. I know he's been here for a while, but.
Yeah. And let's be honest, right? The men's division in NXT is really hurting. They got to build someone because Ricky Saints isn't going to really have many people to fight after Obafemi. So, see.
I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Briggs wins the Iron Survivor.
Same.
It wouldn't be a bad move considering where we're going with Ricky. I don't see him necessarily losing that title anytime soon. So that would be a good contender because they said the winner gets the title shot at New Year's Evil, which like early January or whatever. So, yeah, we'll see because these two are clearly going to be in that match. John Cena was watching. He's going to pick these two because
exactly. He's
watching the show.
Studying, making notes.
Exactly. We go backstage, Sol Ruka is getting ready for her match, and Zarya is seeing her put on her her knee brace. And she's like, are you sure you got this? And Sol's like, yeah, I got this. And she's like, yeah, I know you're going to say you got this, but like, maybe you shouldn't come back from injury. It's like, man, I know you're her friend, but why would you say this to her right now? You know she's good. She's got this. But a little friction here between Zaruka. I'm worried. I was worried that we're getting closer and closer to the impending implosion of Zaruka.
The implosion could be happening live right now in New York for all that we know.
No, I don't read ahead.
I'm just saying. We don't know. I don't know. I'm predicting.
Yeah, definitely. It could happen. Yeah, it definitely could happen. You know what else could happen? NASCAR superstar Jesse Love is here front row. I guess he's a real one too because he's at NXT. This one felt more of a plug because it's NASCAR.
Every time that someone from NASCAR is on NXT, I swear I do a show with you. I feel like we always talk about NASCAR when I'm on this show.
Who was on last time?
Oh, what's his face?
Misty?
Yeah, something like NASCAR? That. Oh. I don't remember. I don't know NASCAR.
Who was it? Oh, man.
Swanson? My skin pigmentation isn't of the NASCAR custard. Variety.
It was like something custard, Corporal Custard or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because you kept calling them
that. Is twitching of like, yeah, that's probably his real name or it's not. I'm just messing up. But Jesse Love, I'm sure he's popular too, but. Shout out Jesse Love. Shout out NASCAR. We go to our next match, the Women's North American Championship. The champion, Blake Monroe, taking on the former champion, Sol Ruka. We have Blake with her championship entrance, the Sabrina Carpenter entrance here, where she looks in the mirror and then she reveals the outfit reveal. Is this the Juno position? Am I saying that right? I don't think so. It's basically the New York skyline, like on her like towel thing that she posed up. So she finally left the bath and now she's here to defend her championship. Out comes Sol Ruka and she's ready to get back this title, but with this big knee brace on and is going to be a major story in this match. Blake early on hits a sling blade. Sol comes back with a face buster and a super kick combo, but then Blake attacks the leg starting there, trying to bend it all she can. So Sol hits like almost like a standing moonsault. And then Blake goes after her leg again with this leg breaker, dragon screws in the corner. They're fighting back and forth. And Sol is fighting through this, selling the leg. There's a huge German suplex. And then like for all the times wrestlers, like I was just about to say, she's supposed to sell the leg, but then she's hitting all these moves where shout out to Sol Ruka, who does kip up with one leg, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think I'm doing it justice. Look this up if you don't know. Like, a kip up with one leg. What in the Kokomo did Sol Ruka just do here? This was low-key very impressive. I could not imagine the strength in your leg that you would have to do. Isn't this how you broke your leg, Boris?
100% practicing this, showing a bunch of people this is how you do a one-legged kick up, boom, broken ankle,
one-legged kip up. Yeah, this was nuts. I've seen people do this and seen people training and stuff, but yeah, in a match, very very impressive, very creative. There's then I guess her leg is fine because she does a moonsault to the outside. So that's okay. Her leg is fine. Blake comes back, though, with the chop block and then single leg crab, really bending into the leg of Sol. And now she is screaming and Blake being nasty. I guess it's the girl from hell or so, she said, taking over as she starts to rip away at the brace, like unbuckling it and bending it and grinding it against Sol's leg as she's screaming in agony. This is where Sol. Oh, wait, sorry. I think there is a roll up attempt here, like a hope spot. But then yeah. Blake turns it right back into this single leg crab. Maple Leaf. Shout out Maple Leaf, Lance Storm. But Zarya freaks out, grabs this guy ringside, like ring crew, and throws this dude to find a white towel. Uh-oh, you know where this is going. Zarya, hesitant, and Sol is screaming at her like, no, don't do that. I got this, while she's like dying here. So Zarya makes the decision that no friend or partner wants to do. And throws in the towel. The ref rings the bell. The match is over. Blake Monroe retains by submission, towel throw, TKO, whatever you want to call it. But Sol Ruka is crushed. Zarya is upset, but she's like, I'm sorry I did that. I had to do it. But I would throw in the towel for you if you needed me to.
I would get very upset if you did, because I got it. Here's the thing, what I liked about this match. The fact that typically HBK loves this, using the white towel gimmick. What I did like about this is the fact that Zarya didn't come out with a white towel. Because, you know, they didn't telegraph it from the beginning. They kind of did.
Right.
Kind of
had an idea.
Yeah, she had to find one. So I like that, where they, you know, it wasn't, you know, Chekhov's gun type of thing where, you know, they weren't going to use it. So I kind of did like that. And then I started thinking, what if, you know, everyone's thinking it's Zarya who's going to turn heel on Sol. What if it's the other way around? What if it's Sol who goes heel?
Ooh, yeah. I think I was saying that with Dave the other day, like that would be such a swerve, because for me, the character of when Sol was like double champ, she was acting way more like conceited. She was doing selfies, and Zarya was more so like, oh wow, like you need two titles, like kind of thing. And like, they were kind of pushing that. But I mean, Zarya here throwing in the towel and now Sol, I don't know. It does kind of make sense, but I want to see Zarya just be this huge heel monster, and I guess that we're just not ready for that yet, but it does make more sense. We were saying that, like, you wouldn't necessarily see it coming, but again, the story of Sol was she was the one who was cocky and, you know, selfish. She didn't even give her friend the speed title, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I like this match. Again, I love Sol Ruka. I think she's great, and I think she could be a huge, huge star in WWE. And Blake Monroe, like, this wasn't necessarily like a blowaway match, but there was some fine stuff. I think she's coming into her own eventually. I'm still not sure about the double personality thing. Like, she did a little bit of it and stuff with the facial reactions and stuff at the end, but I don't know. I guess the verdict is still out, but I thought it was pretty fun. I'm still blown away by that kip up, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good. Good match.
Then we went. Yeah. We go to the BK Have It Your Way replay. They move back from the Panda Express replay. And Vic with the great call. Blake had her way here with the towel thrown in. So Blake continues on. Where do we go with Blake? Like, can the North American champion still be in the Iron Survivor? Or is that too messy? I can't remember if they've done that in the past. But, like, where does Blake's next challenger? We finally move away from Zarya?
It depends. If the split happens before deadline, I can see it happening, but I can also see them having a triple threat match with Zarya.
I like that. That could be fun. And then Sol and Zarya finally butting heads and having a fight, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking could happen.
We go to Ricky Saint. Yeah, absolutely. We go to the Ricky Saints, the NXT champion. He comes out. Booker T, for once, says, oh, Ricky's looking good. He's wearing that Louis Vuitton. And then right away says, oh, wait, actually, I'm not sure if that's real or not. You know, some people wear fake Louis Vuitton. I was like, damn, Booker. You a-hole. Like, I know the gimmick is he doesn't like Ricky Saints. I guess he's not worked Reality of Wrestling or something, but. Wow, just burying him with this. It looked like real Louis. I wouldn't know, to be honest, but he looked good. I don't know.
it was good. I like it. It's the few times that Booker makes me laugh is like when he's almost serious like this.
Like when he's just mean. Yeah, when he's really mean. He wasn't even like laughing. He was just like, yeah, that's not real.
Like, yeah, it's like, fuck this guy.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from Post Wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/postwrestling.
Hello. Brayden Harrington here from Up Next. You can catch us live every Tuesday here at Post Wrestling as we cover NXT. But if you search Poison Rana in your YouTube or podcast app or social media of choice, you can check out all the other wrestling content that we create, podcasts, and so much more. Visit PoisonRana.ca and keep it lit.
So we have Booker T making fun of how the champion is dressing. And then out comes Obafemi, the former champion, in jeans, and he's shirtless. I mean, look at him. He barely can find shirts that fit, I'm sure, because he's a monster. But Obafemi comes out to a big crowd reaction here in New York. The former champ has returned. We saw him last week, if you blinked and missed it, at the very end of NXT with the shadows of Obafemi as he came. He was cut off because of time, but he did show up, and he is here today to face Ricky in the ring face to face. And Oba comes out and Ricky says, "You know, I'm not shocked, Oba, that you returned. I knew that you would come back and you disappeared. You lost and you went home to Nigeria and no one heard for you. But the train kept on rolling, partner." And Oba says, "Yes, that's true. I went back after my loss to rethink everything, rethink of what happened and focus on myself," and said he went home to the motherland, the soil that made me, and now I am a version that you cannot beat. And in a great Obafemi line that I'm sure will be quoted in memes to come, "The ruler is back, your daddy is home." And Ricky says, oh yeah, okay, well, you got it. And he says deadline when he's interrupted by Trick Williams, who comes out and says, and I think he's like, "Oh, I heard you, New York, you were cheering for me," and the crowd are chanting like, "No, we weren't." And before Trick can even say anything else, he is attacked by Miles Bourne, who grabs the mic after laying Trick out and says, "Now we're even. And hey, Ricky, Oba, whoever is NXT champion, you're going to be looking at the Iron Survivor winner," and then walks off because he was looking for revenge the past few weeks from Trick Williams. But Ricky says to Oba that it is official. Deadline, main event, Ricky, Oba 2. And I don't know, maybe after going back to Nigeria, Obafemi learned from the motherland how to kick out of a tornado DDT. Hopefully he can do it. But I'm looking forward to this rematch.
Weeks and weeks of training to kick out at 2. 1, 2, now you kick out.
Yeah, because he's the ruler. He tells everyone what to do. I didn't really love their last match, but I feel like redoing it, hopefully to right the wrong, if that makes sense. Like I'm being positive. Like, okay, I actually didn't really like that match a whole lot, but if we run it back, maybe we can have more fun with it. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm just being positive.
They have weird chemistry.
That is your deadline main event, along with the Iron Survivor. It didn't click.
Yeah, it didn't click. Their last match. So hopefully this time they can work something out. We'll see what happens with their next match. Should be better. Just remember, the last card, whenever it was, Halloween Havoc, I guess, the entire card was good. So this match kind of just fell under the carpet in that sense.
Yeah, the last one wasn't great. The PLEs have not necessarily hit as much, but I know that this Iron Survivor has made a name for itself. And I think, I don't know, him coming back, that him not being champion and Ricky, like, I don't imagine Oba winning back the title, even though that could happen, but I just don't necessarily see that happening. But at least it's a bit more interesting than just where it was before. I think people were maybe shocked that Ricky won, but I don't know. I was a little disappointed with that match. So I would be interested to see them run it back and do something good, but we shall see. I guess we got to find out. Ricky's got to speak. Someone's got to tell Ricky what Booker T said so we can know if this was real Louis V or not, but we'll see. Ava goes backstage and she yells at Miles Bourne, "Did you not hear me last week?" And he's like, "No, no, I'm deaf." it's a pretty good bit Miles got there. Nah, sorry, I didn't. So last week she said, "Don't attack Trick." Well, she kind of said, "Don't get involved in the match last week." And like, I don't know. He's fine. So she's mad, but she makes the match next week, which they have taped already. Miles Bourne versus Trick Williams, Gold Rush week 2. So one of these guys will be in the Iron Survivor, I'm sure. So do we see Miles Bourne after calling him out like that? I think you would give him that slot.
I think so. Makes sense. It just seems too random not to put him in at this point.
Yeah, and Trick, I felt like the Trick sign off of NXT was that Last Man Standing match, so I'm not quite sure. He's still just kicking around, but tricking around in NXT. But I think that when the right time, you should be moving him up to the main roster. At least try it out. You could do the Kalani thing eventually with Melo as a unit would be pretty cool too. I'm not sure, but or maybe Miles and Trick are both. Like if you know, it's all about John Cena. And if he's watching, then maybe he picks Miles Bourne, Trick Williams, Tavion Heights, Josh Briggs, and then a fifth person. I think that would be your deadline card, Matt.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, we see Josh Briggs and Tavion, like I just mentioned, are still walking around the venue fighting. My favorite thing in wrestling, just people fighting through. At least they didn't do the thing where they walked and interfered in a match and everything. But Josh and Tavion are fighting, brawling through the merch stands, and hopefully they can grab us one of those Cena Mets hats. But yes, I guess this is next week as well. I would imagine so, with them fighting, I think is what she said. I could be wrong, yeah. But yeah, NXT Gold Rush. Let's see. Week 2. They add this. I don't want to look it up because
you're going to spoil yourself.
Okay, hold on. I'm not looking. Okay, I'm looking. No, they don't have that match. Okay. That match isn't next week. But you got to watch them fight in the Iron Survivor, I guess. But next week on week 2 is Fallon Henley versus Zarya, Jordan Grace versus Lei Ying Li versus Kalani Jordan for the Knockouts world title. Also, I mentioned Fallon and Zarya is for the Speed. Jackson Drake versus Sean Legacy for the Evolve Championship, and Kendall Gray versus Lainey Reed for the Evolve Championship, and then Trick versus Miles. So we got 5 matches next week.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Good turn.
Yeah. We got a video for the Evolve thing as well a bit later to kind of help build that up. But yeah, not too shabby here. We go to our next match. It is a championship match here at Gold Rush. And we're talking about the NXT Tag Team Champions, Dark State, defending against the team of the X Division Champion. Lots of champions here at Gold Rush. Too many titles in wrestling sometimes. Where's the National Championship? NWA could do the funniest thing with Mike Mondo if they really wanted to. Leon Slater and Javon Evans taking on Osiris Griffin and Dion Lennox in the theater in MSG. It starts off with all the Dark State lads trying to fight these two guys. That's 2-on-1, but I think they super kick them, but then the baddies gain control pretty quickly. Osiris hits this huge Davey Boy power slam on Leon, but Evans stomps off the top rope to break this up. Eventually, Leon and Javon start doing sending both members to the outside and then do like these big dives, taking out all 4 members of Dark State. When we come back from picture in picture, like it's just Javon getting beat up the whole time until he starts to fight back. He tags in Leon, who starts coming back with the big Blue Thunder Utopia, as he calls it. And then there's the dive that Leon does. But this is like Javon, like almost jumping over Javon to then jump over the turnbuckle all the way to the outside, where Leon takes them all out again. Very impressive. Leon then comes back with even more crazy stuff with this like huge sit out power bomb. I don't even know what this was. Oh, I think this was Dark State hitting their version, but it's only 2 of them. So it's like throwing him in the air here. Again, like Mike Mondo, high spirits, the dark state bomb here. But however, it's broken up again. This is where there's Javon who tries to break it up, but then they pull Dion or Osiris so that Javon splashes Leon by accident. And then they nail Evans and throw him out. And then they hit the Doomsday device on Leon Slater and get the win. And Dark State retain the tag team championships here at Gold Rush. But yeah, I don't know if I was expecting a little bit more. I think there was some really impressive stuff with Leon Slater and Javon. But Dark State, guys, I'm still not quite sold on these things. But Boris, what did you think of this?
I agree, man. Look, overall, decent tag team. Javon and Slater, they're just so damn good, right? Javon Evans last night against Gunther, almost said Walter there. But yeah, no, great. Like, those two are so good. But Dark State, I'm just not convinced, right? Like, every week, they're bumbling idiots. They look like morons. And then this week, even they kind of, like, cheated their way to win. So I'm not sure what their whole thing is. But yeah, no. Overall, okay match. Javon Evans and Leon Slater are just so good. And Javon Evans, man, like, honestly, he just impresses every single time that he's out there.
Like, is this this was at one point teasing that, like, because Evans is seen saying to him, like, yo, that was my bad. It was my fault we lost. It was because I splashed you. So hopefully they're not teasing tension between these two, because I think they should stay as a unit, not as, like, enemies or anything like that. But yeah, it's these Dark State guys that, like, I think they can be put in these matches, but then when it comes time, it's like, I don't know, it's every time they wrestle, it's the people they're wrestling that are tending to do more of the stuff.
Yeah.
They're just there. They hit some cool tag moves. I can give them that. Some of their moves look cool, but I don't know, it's not necessarily gelling as much. But I can't believe Leon Slater and Javon are only like 21 is crazy. These two guys are so much fun to watch. So hopefully we have Leon Slater staying here on NXT. Like, I like him on TV week to week, so keep him here. Defend the X Division on this show, I don't care. Like, just keep him on this show until we sign him. Sign Mike Santana. Just, they do a trade. They got Lexus King. They got Tyson Tyree. They got Mr. Stone. They get all the heavy hitters. We get Leon Slater.
Okay. They can take half the men's division and we get Leon Slater.
Yeah, I think it's a fair trade. Yeah, I would trade that. I like this guy a lot. And it's interesting. I don't know if I could ever say this while Davey's here, but one of my buddies, shout out Scorpio Sam, who mentioned to me that Leon Slater's theme song is definitely like, the beat is a similar ASAP Rocky song called Ghetto Symphony. So anyone wondering what Leon, if you're wondering, what does that song sound like? There's an ASAP Rocky song that sounds very, very similar to Leon Slater's theme song. So thank you, Sam, for pointing that out, because it was driving me crazy. It was driving him crazy too. But anyway, sick theme song. So hopefully we get to hear it on NXT. But unfortunately, nobody's safe with Dark State around. So. Yeah,
except everyone is safe when Dark State is around.
Everyone's pretty safe. We don't have any other tag champions. Yeah, well, the New York parking lots might be even scarier than Florida parking lots. But I wonder if Hank and Tank come back. I know they're NOAH champions, your favorite promotion of all time, NOAH. I wonder, like, do they come back eventually? Like, what? We don't have any other tag teams even here in NXT. So that's why I was thinking Javon and Slayer would be a bit more fun. So I do hope the titles go to them eventually, but we shall see. We go backstage. Ren Sinclair and Kendall Gray, the Ren QCC, and they're hyping up for Kendall's match next week, the Evolve Championship. She says she's grateful that she gets this opportunity and that this is the biggest stage the Evolve title will be seen, and says that she's locked in. And Ren tells her that she's going to send who's she facing again? Fallon? No, not Fallon Henley. That's the other. Lainey Reed. She's gonna send Lainey Reed into the gray zone, the gray area. Gray area. That makes more sense. The gray area. What other puns with gray can she come up with for finishing moves?
Some Grey's Anatomy stuff.
Oh, nice. Is there like lawsuits involved there? Maybe if they use that, but Grey's Anatomy. And it's like an abdominal stretch or like an arm wrench or something. She's a wrestler. Exactly. So like attacking the anatomy. Grey is attacking her anatomy. How is
exactly
made that reference before?
But they're not us, damn it.
Seems like it could, like, I swear they used one. Grey matter? Grey area? I don't know. But there's definitely something there. But anyways, that match should be good, hopefully. Then we go to a very interesting segment. Maybe one of the more interesting segments on this show. You know, I usually there's listeners out there who listen to me talk about NXT for far too long, and I appreciate it. But usually I say, hey, check this out from NXT if you know, this match really banged, or like check out this segment or whatever. I don't know if it's my due diligence to tell you to check this out, but we haven't had anything like this in a while in NXT. So, yeah. What the fuck was this? Okay. A vignette here on NXT for Shiloh Hill. And he's the winner, or the, as he says, the proud winner of LFG season 2. And we see he's sitting in what looks like, I don't know, like an office or like a streaming setup, like streaming, to play video games or hacking or something. I thought it was Solomon Crowe for a second. I was getting really nervous with this TNA crossover that we brought the hacker back or Ali or something. But so he's sitting here, and I knew we were in trouble when this dude, Shiloh Hill, says, let me download you all some info on me. I was completely done at this point already. I was like, oh, God. He talks about school. Yes, another character telling us about how he went to school and he played sports for high-level colleges and universities. But first, when he was very young, so he's just giving us his whole life story when I definitely didn't ask. He then says he used to be a bad student, and him and his sisters would skip the bus and go play in the woods all day. This was very bizarre. He then says, so how did you end up at Stanford, you ask? I didn't. He then talks about taking online classes and then mentions his love for the dark web, conspiracy theories. But then he made it to school, and when he made it to the wrestling, what is it, a football team, he suplexed our tight end. He ended up getting 61 offers from schools and made it to Stanford and yada yada, and then says, but check back soon for more on Shiloh Hill, as he then turns back to his computer and does hacker computer things. But one thing I thought was, huh? What? What the fuck was, what did I just watch, Boris? What was it?
So here's the thing. I will say this, you know, it's very rare that when you and I do a review together, we don't really talk or send messages during the show so that we can talk about things here. You know, when a connection is actually making it shy, maybe Shiloh Hill ruining our connection today. But it's very rare that we actually talk about whatever we're watching so that, you know, we can get the natural reactions. Is one of the, I think, the first time ever that you've messaged me in the middle of a show saying, what the F did I just watch? Or what the F was that? Man, I was
thought puzzled. Something was wrong with my Netflix.
I was staring at the screen like, what was that? Now, for those people who don't know, Shiloh Hill is that guy who kind of made a name for himself on TikTok for, you know, getting those weird bloody boots off of the dark web and showing them off and stuff like that. So they're using that gimmick to kind of do something, but it's just awkward, weird, and it just seems so, yeah, I don't know. I just don't get it.
I don't understand. So they're playing off that, like, he's one of this more interesting superstars. Like, he's so weird. And so is his gimmick, he's online and he's on the dark web and buying. Is he an incel? Is that the gimmick? Like,
so that's the thing, right? Like, that's how they're making it seem. But I don't know. But yeah, he made a name for himself because, like, he's on TikTok and he bought these boots that he claims are from the dark web. And they're all, like, bloody and weird. And it's like, I don't know. It's one of those weird edge of, you know, the things that you see on TikTok at like 4 a.m. for some reason, and then you're thinking, why am I still
that's
off?
His gimmick,
go to the next you go to the next video and then it's like the outdoor guys, right? But yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't know, I don't get it, I don't like it. It was dumb.
His gimmick is either he's a TikToker or he's a hacker or he's people telling me their life stories about skipping school and playing football. Like, as soon as they tell me you played football, I don't care. But as soon as this guy's like, let me download you from information, I was like, oh, fuck no, please no. So, yeah, this was definitely, this is great. It's November 18th. This technically slides in as potential for worst gimmick of 2025. So there's plenty of time before the end of the year, but this was so interesting. I know we've had poker players on NXT and I don't know, people with other weird gimmicks, a fucking university at one point. Like, we've had some weird stuff, but this just so stupid off the top. Like, this is it kind of like Joe Hendry? His was like he was woke or something. This is just like this guy likes to be on his computer in the dark web. Like, so you're saying he's going to be arrested if we look at his hard drives? What is this guy's gimmick? What is
right?
He used to play football and now he's a creeper on the internet. So I thought for a second they were going to say that this was NXT Anonymous, but like that would mean he would have had been around for like forever. So we're just never going to know who that is, but maybe he could hack into the system and find out. But yeah, LFG Shiloh Hill. I was very confused watching this. I was very confused at this. So check it out if you want a head scratch, I guess. But yeah, we're going to learn more. That's the problem. That's the problem. So we go from that. We go to a... I'm creeped out. I'm going to disconnect my router.
Yeah, I've never seen you so uncomfortable.
That's his gimmick, is he makes people feel uncomfortable. You know that like one neighbor who lets their kid live in their basement, even though they're like four, I guess most wrestling fans, but like, what's he doing? Why is he always on the dark web? Why is he using VPNs for stuff? What's on those hard drives? Exactly. Why is he using those apps?
Why does he only leave at night?
He's vampire gimmick or something. I don't know. This is bizarre. Super bizarre. I know we have to give gimmicks a chance. First impressions matter, but you know, they're not. So like, I'm still saying there's a chance, but not whatever this was. Oh my God. No, please stop it right now. Stop it.
In six months, here's my bold prediction.
Okay.
In six months, he's going to be your favorite wrestler. Just watch. I'm calling.
He might already be 18. After talking about it. After talking about it for 2 minutes, I'm like, maybe I just like this guy. No, I definitely. Yeah. In 6 months, if he's my favorite wrestler, we're going out. Drinks on me, Boris. But yeah, fucking ridiculous gimmick here. Don't quite understand it. So we go from that. We go to Sean Legacy promo for next week. He is the guy. We've seen some glimpses of him on NXT. He's really fast, really impressive in ring. And he's going up against the Evolve champ, Jackson Drake, who we have seen a little bit as well. And he's really good too. So actually, I imagine that this could be a bit of a sleeper hit. You might not know these guys, but it could be something that next week we'd be talking about is a bit of a fun match, I'm hoping for. But do you watch Evolve or anything else on Tubi for that matter, Boris?
No, I don't actually. Tubi, I watch like a lot of weird horror movies. Stuff being yeah, Shadows I would saying. Watch. But
yeah. Yeah, no, Tubi is great for the weird, like, foreign horror movies.
Yep.
And then Evolve. It's just like, yeah.
I've never seen it, to be honest. I haven't seen it yet.
You got to check it out. You don't know what you're missing. I don't watch it, actually, but I think it's cool. I don't know what's going on with the WWE ID stuff and if that even has anything to do with Evolve and stuff, but I don't know. As long as you're getting people on TV and stuff, but the more titles thing is getting a bit ridiculous. We go backstage. Sol Ruka very upset about her loss, not winning back that title. And Zarya's like, you lost it. And she's like, what do you mean I lost it? Like, you threw the towel in and I told you not to throw it. I was telling you, no, don't. And you did. And she says, well, your pride is what cost you, Sol. And you can't be champion if you're injured. So I helped you in the long run. So what if if I didn't do that, you would have been hurt. And Sol walks off. So maybe you're right. Maybe Sol is the one who should be doing the breakup here. Maybe she's very upset. Maybe she costs Zarya a championship because Sol says, like, I don't care. And Zarya, the last thing she says is that I'm going to win back the speed title next week. So what could happen? What could happen next week? We will see.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, Rewind Away looks at some of the biggest retirement matches in wrestling history, featuring matches involving Terry Funk, Ric Flair, Sting, and Tam Nakano. Plus, John Pollock and Brandon from New Jersey get together to look back at season 4 of 90210, a season that brought you John Sears, Lucinda Nicholson, David's meth addiction, and Brandon moving in on Kelly Taylor. Book Club will cover This Book Is All Elite by Keith Elliott Greenberg. Plus, we have reviews of TNA Turning Point, UFC 322, and so much more. $6 gets you all this at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go to the Kung Pao Chicken. I don't know why Booker T says this. Ren, I get when it was the Panda Express replay, but I didn't understand why he randomly just says Kung Pao Chicken when JC Jane makes her entrance, but I digress here. Because last time he said it a few times, and Davey's like, I don't know why you said it. And then last week they said Panda Express replay, so that makes sense. But this time around they didn't, so I was confused. Unless because when I'm watching on Netflix, we don't get that read or something. They sometimes mute the announcer intros from commercials. But yeah, Kung Pao Chicken, which is weird because Davey and I just did a show called The Champ Is Here, and we were talking about The Rock John Cena feud. And we were definitely rambling on about how The Rock used to call John Cena Kung Pao Chicken Bitch or something. And it's like, what? Why? Why did he call him that? It doesn't really make sense. But like Fruity Pebbles, I get he wears the colorful shirts. But to call a man Kung Pao Chicken Bitch or whatever is...
Maybe that's when he was learning Chinese or something, Mayor.
John Cena?
Yeah.
Oh, so The Rock was just being racist. Got it. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You Kung Pao Chicken Bitch. But Booker T, maybe Booker was just on his skip the dishes, his DoorDash again. But JC Jane versus Tatum Paxley for the NXT Women's Championship, our main event of Gold Rush here. The champion Tatum Paxley putting the title on the line in a last chance match, meaning this is JC's last chance at the championship since losing it. Right away, the crowd is hot here for Tatum. They're calling it Tatum Tuesday as they chant. There's some fast chain wrestling between the two of them. They keep trying to roll each other up back and forth. Eventually, Fatal Influence try to get involved with Blaney and Fallon, but they all take a tumble there, and then it's JC with the senton off the apron, nailing Tatum here as she beats down on her as they go into commercial break. But during picture-in-picture, it's all JC, and when we come back, there's this huge lariat from JC Jane for a two count, beating down on the champion. Tatum comes back with a series of kicks, like a super kick, an enziguri, and then what's described by Vic Joseph as a similar move to a Harlem Heat. And he's like, oh, you didn't think I'd know that one, Book. And Book starts laughing his head off at like, oh, yeah, I know. You know it. You know my moves. Yes, the Harlem Hangover. There's then Tatum who sets JC up in the top turnbuckle and hits this super fisherman buster off the top and then gets up right away and hits this like sit out style. Like, this was pretty impressive. We've seen Tatum do this like avalanche fisherman buster, but very impressive. But JC kicks out of it. She sends Tatum to the outside, hits a PK off the apron, and then in the ring, the rolling encore, 1-2, and Tatum kicks out. MSG going crazy here. Eventually Lainey Reed grabs the title, tries to throw it in there, but Izzy smashes her with it like, no, fuck off. And then we see someone else throw the different title in the ring. I think someone throws the title when Lainey was knocked out. And Tatum rolls out of the ring. She doesn't... Yeah, sorry. It's Izzy who throws the title to her, but she doesn't want to use it. So she rolls out of the ring. And when she tries to go back into the ring, the Culling, Nico Vance, and Sean Spears block Tatum from going back into the ring. They do their best mean mugging with their shoulders up. And Tatum's confused, like, what? Why aren't you letting me back in the ring? And while she's saying that or thinking that, Izzy Dame kicks Tatum's head right off her shoulders, almost rolls her back into the ring. The ref didn't see it, and the rolling encore, a second encore from JC Jane for the 1-2-3. JC Jane, that's her name, and she regains the NXT Women's Championship. Shocking turn of events from Izzy Dame here. Why, Izzy? Why? But what'd you think of all this here, Boris?
I didn't see this coming, to be honest. I thought Tatum Paxi, it feels like she just won, right? So I was shocked, yeah. Which is cool. I like being shocked watching wrestling, right? It's match was half decent, good enough. But yeah, I'm not sure. It's weird that, you know, they have so much faith in JC Jane. Like, I see it, but it's of all people, right? It's that they have right now. It's JC Jane who's kind of their main women's champ. Cool, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Are they gonna do now a Paxley against the Culling type thing? Like, you know, it's weird. It's just weird. But it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, it's weird because I think we kind of saw JC getting this title back, but I don't think we necessarily saw it that way coming. And it's kind of weird. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I like this finish. It's kind of weird because you had her defending her like so many times and fighting off Fatal Attraction and this and that, and then all to like just turn on her. Like, it's kind of backwards a little bit. I don't know. I feel it a little weird with that way, but like, I'm not mad JC won, but it's just kind of weird that Izzy doing at this time. I don't know. It's kind of strange, but like, why would Izzy cost her? After all this time, she has been helping her. So to prove your point, basically, that you shouldn't be stupid with the title, but she's winning the match, so I'm going to help her lose the match. It's just kind of like stupid wrestling logic, I guess.
Was it me, or did it feel like Vince Russo booking? Like, it honestly felt like a Vince Russo ending.
Okay, yeah. It did feel slightly silly that, like, I'm pretty sure she bashed Lainey in the face with the title. Like, she's been defending, she's been fighting in tag matches, and then all of a sudden they just decide, it is true what they say, the truth will set you free, but there is pain bringing it to light. Everyone always says that all the time, but I don't understand this finish. It's kind of stupid. I think if you just had, what if, like, Izzy threw the title and Tatum doesn't want to use it, and then that costs her? So really, it's Izzy. And then Tatum's like, hey, actually, you're the one who did this. And then Izzy's like, you know what? Fuck you. And then they kick her out of the group. But that wasn't the case. It was just Izzy at the very end decides, actually, you know what, guys? Let's fuck her over. And
yeah,
it's title offer. Random. It's like, oh.
Very random.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of weird. So I didn't quite understand that. I don't know. Maybe we're alone on that. But if we both thought that, then it's like, what?
But it was also one of those things where I don't feel it's not that I don't feel the need, but it didn't leave me hanging, wanting to watch more per se, right? Like, I'm more confused than wanting to figure it out and watch next week to see if they're going to follow up on it.
Yeah. So now JC's champion. Going into this, we're going to have a Tatum-Izzy feud. I mean, you could put them both in the Iron Survivor or a singles match at Deadline, I guess. But, like, JC back as champion, where does this eventually lead? Do we go to, like, a Fallon storyline eventually with her that we kind of were sort of teasing for a long time? I'm not quite sure. But where would you go with JC as champion next for Deadline?
Honestly, I have no idea at this point. Like, are they going to give Tatum Paxley a rematch? Is Jordynne Grace in title scene, or is she going to be in the Iron Survivor? Like, it just, I have no idea where they could go. I think they might just do a rematch, a straight up rematch. I think this is a weird way to just give us a rematch.
A third one, I guess, down the line. She's a rubber match, like last chance for Tatum because. Yeah, it's 1-1, but I don't know. I see JC going forward. You could do something down the line with, I guess, Jordynne Grace is tied up with that, like, knockouts thing with Kalani. I don't know. Like, Soul eventually could go that way. Zarya, I'm not quite sure with that title, but I don't know. I wasn't mad that Tatum lost, but I think you could have done a bit more fun stuff with it. And the culling to me, the thing with NXT, we got too many goofy things going on with the Dark State stuff, the Dark State lads, and then the culling guys who just stand there looking too stupid for me. Like, I can get into them sometimes, but the gimmick is so silly to me.
And then they also have your favorite wrestler, Shiloh Hill, now. So, like, a lot of weird gimmicks.
You should join them. He seems like he's in a cult or like 4chan or something like that. That's his gimmick, right? Probably what it is. But yeah, NXT goes off the air. Shocking end with JC Jane retaining the championship as Gold Rush week one goes off the air. So we'll see if there's a fatal prophecy, right? What is their group name again? Fatal Influence? A fatal prophecy like the Undisputed Era. Could that happen? Could Fallon pick up the speed title? Could Lainey win the Evolve title? We shall see. I don't know if there's going to be a prophecy, but I think we should go towards Fallon and JC eventually if we can. I think I would like that. But what did you think overall with Gold Rush week one watching tonight?
Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Oh, you know, good wrestling in overall and the whole, as they like to say. Weird ending though, so that kind of left a weird bitter taste. Not bitter taste, just a weird taste. But it was good. I liked it. Javon Evans and stuff like that, and Leon Slater, always fun to watch. The opening was just a fun match. Blake Monroe, wonder where they're gonna go there, and pretty good start of set for Deadline and the Iron Survivor matches. The whole Ricky Saints, Obafemi stuff. You know, overall, I give it my seal of approval.
Like, it had some fun matches. Nothing necessarily sucked except that finish at the end and maybe that Shiloh Hill promo. But there was some decent wrestling. I had fun even with the mixed tag match with Chelsea Ethan. Like,
yeah,
nothing stunk, again, other than that weird 4chan promo. But
nothing was horrible.
Yeah, nothing necessarily was like super stood out, but still a pretty decent show. And again, I think we should get some good wrestling from next week and then leading up to that Deadline Iron Survivor stuff. Like, those matches are pretty good. So whoever we get in those, if we're assuming it's those four people that we said, Tavion, Briggs, Miles, and who is the other one? Trick? Right. Question for you, who would be your fifth person? And also, what about the women's one? If I was saying Izzy and Tatum, maybe be in that.
I think the fifth person is going to be Obafemi. I have a feeling that Obafemi is going to, he's actually facing.
Well, he's in the match.
I have no idea, actually. Yeah. I forgot.
Obafemi could lose, not in the main event, and then pull an edge and just kick out someone and Obafemi takes their spot in the thing. But I don't think they would necessarily do that kind of thing. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
But what about the women's side?
On the women's side, I guess we got, Zarya, Soul. I can see Fallon Henley being in on it. Jordynne Grace.
Yeah, sure, that's pretty good. That's pretty stacked. Put someone from TNA in there or something too, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, like Jordynne Grace, Tatum, Izzy, Soul and Zarya both could be in it. That could be interesting, right? If that was the case. You were saying triple threat with Blake, but I don't know. I mean, that would be a fun match too to have on the show, but they could be used in that Iron Survivor.
Or just throw Blake in the Iron Survivor match.
That's what I was saying. It's like, right? do they let the North American champion do that? I guess. I can't remember, but. Yeah. Anyways, kind of thumbs in the middle for me. Nothing necessarily stunk or anything like that, but nothing necessarily blew me away. But next week should be fun. New York, the crowd, they were taping some matches before the show tonight and after the show as well. So look forward to chatting about it next week. I did my best of avoiding spoilers. I'll do my best until next week when we watch it and talk about it here on Up Next. But NXT Deadline, hopefully some good matches going forward into the new year, New Year's Evil and everything like that. We shall see what happens. We got to get some call-ups, with Javon what I think making a big name for himself on Raw last night. Like, he could be someone who needs to become NXT champion and have this big story arc and everything, which I thought they were doing with Oba. But there's people like Ethan Page who should be totally on the main roster. I think Trick Williams, there's an opportunity to try something with him on the main roster. Oba as well, like, he lost, so like, you could put him up there. And where the hell is Tony D'Angelo?
Right, he's like, yeah, he's swimming with the fishes, he's,
I guess.
He went into witness protection, it
seems. Yeah, he's not having that spaghetti in that one Italian
the gabagool
Florida. Yeah, now he's having the ziti somewhere. So I mean, it's New York. He could have showed up here. Put him in the Iron Survivor. Maybe he shows up next week at a boom bada right. thing, possibly. Or Stax too, right? Or wait, we're trading him to TNA. He's part of that.
He's in TNA with yeah. I was gonna call him Lexus King. I almost called him Gypsy King for some reason.
It's a great band.
Yeah, it's a fantastic band. Gypsy Kings, I love them.
Yeah. I like the Gypsy Kings a whole lot more than Lexus King, but yeah. Imagine he played in the Gypsy Kings. That would be great. Boris, thank you for joining me here today on Up Next as we reviewed some NXT here at Post Wrestling. Thank you for accepting the hot tag, the sweet tag team maneuvers that we hit today. Appreciate you. Sorry for any issues with the internet or whatever was going on with this show, but we made it out alive, and that's the most important. So if you've made it this far in the review, thank you for listening. Appreciate the listen. And Boris, again, let people know where they can find you and some of the stuff that you got going in the world of wrestling and podcasts and whatnot.
Yeah, man. So I can be found at A Plus Productions, or you can just go to your favorite podcasting app and search for A Plus Wrestling. That's EH and the symbol plus wrestling. Weekly show on Sundays. And yeah, huge stuff coming up over the next few weeks and into the next year. Lots of fun. That's A Plus Wrestling, any podcasting app.
Absolutely. Go check them out. Friend of the show for sure. If you ever come to some of our Toronto events, you'll definitely catch Boris lurking around, hanging around, having some fun and some stuff. So we're working. I don't know if we're going to be doing a War Games party just because of timing and it's a Saturday and stuff, but we are planning a really big Royal Rumble party. I can announce a tease of a tease, like a Tony Khan move here of just promoting something's going to be announced in the near future. So Toronto fans, stay tuned. Appreciate all the love out there. Boris, what were you doing the other night? Were you at, the Matthew Perry fundraiser event, right?
Yeah. I was at the Matthew Perry House and Make Music Loud charity event over at the Corner Hall, which is beside the ROM. Beautiful, awesome venue. Great cause, you know, mental health and mental awareness and all that stuff. And it was really cool being able to just help out with the Matthew Perry Foundation. And dude, get this. Members of Sum 41, Billy Talent, Big Wreck, Moist, and Dallas Green singing with covers of Bruce Springsteen music.
Whoa, crazy. A bunch of Canadian superstars coming together for Matthew Perry, RIP. Yeah, that's crazy. I saw that you were working that event. That looks so awesome. So rest in peace. Canadian legend. Canadian legends all singing there. Yeah. That is a stacked lineup, though. Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Well, give Boris a follow. Check out some of the other stuff that he does. I'm sure we'll have you on for some shows down the line. I know it's a month or so out, but the Poison Rana Christmas party is going to be happening. We do this big stream where we invite different friends and stuff, and I definitely want to reach out and then extend the invitation to you. I'm sure you could bring some fun party favors to and games or something or topics to the event. So we'll definitely have Boris on again in the near future. So appreciate every time you make that hot tag for me, brother. Thank you so much for joining us today. And of course, everyone listening, patreon.com/poisonrana. Check out all the other shows. Our GoldenEye review, our Champ Is Here 13 featuring The Rock and John Cena, plus our Snap Ranas from this week in NYC. And Sunday at some point on the free feed, podcast feed, search Poison Rana and find our full gear review and so much more. But poisonrana.ca for everything that we do. I think that's it. And I think that's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And we will download you next time. Is that what Shiloh shit, whatever? Yeah, anyways. Goodbye.
Shit, Jesus. Later.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.